This is the word of God found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting with verse 15, and I want to read on into Deuteronomy 31 to verse 6. So starting with Deuteronomy chapter 30, the 15th verse. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. And the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. If I tried to come up for a title for what I wanted to express to you today, it would be Good Counsel from Old Men. Because I'd like to look at some words spoken near the ends of the lives of Moses, Joshua, David, and Paul. I started thinking about this because often as the years go by and you come down to what seems to be perhaps your last years, you never know, but you begin thinking about what's important, and many people are less inhibited about saying what they really feel, and if they really feel something's important, at that time they often open up about it. And these are occasions beyond that natural inclination. These are men who speak often by the inspiration of Holy Scripture, of the Holy Spirit into Scripture, and in this case it is so, that these are men who are led by the Spirit of God. Now, just because someone is older doesn't mean their advice is good. In fact, you find that even in the book of Job. As you read through the book of Job, you find out that among Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, the three friends that came to comfort Job and ended up irritating Job, that among them were men older than Job's dad. So at least one of them, maybe all three of them, were very aged men, and had probably lived through many years and had many experiences. And yet, those men were so entrenched in their false doctrine that Job must have done something wrong, or else this tragedy would not have come upon him, that they were incapable of giving consistent good counsel and ended up saying many things that were flat wrong. They hurt, and they dishonored God. But the Scripture tells us clearly that that was the case, because in the last book of Job, in the last chapter of the book of Job, chapter 42, God turns to these three men and addresses Eliphaz in behalf of all three men and says, "Ye have not spoken that which is right concerning me, as hath my servant Job, thou and thy three friends. So bring a sacrifice to Job and offer it unto the Lord, and my servant Job will pray for you, and I will forgive you when he prays for you." So there you have the case of someone being older, but they had just gotten old in false doctrine. But when we read these words near the ends of the life of Moses and Joshua and David and Paul, you're going to receive some counsel that is good, because they have endeavored to follow God, especially in their later years. All of them were sinners saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses had disobeyed God and hit the rock when God said, "Speak to the rock." Moses had murdered an Egyptian doing what he thought was good in order to deliver Israel, and ended up fleeing from Egyptian justice. While we turn to Joshua, we find out a man there that was faithful to lead, but many times he got things wrong. There was a time when the Gibeonites had come and said they were from far off, and the Israelites were to make an agreement, a covenant with them. And without inquiring to the Lord, Joshua and Israel went ahead and swore to them that they would not slay them. Later on, to find out they were right beside them in the land of Canaan. They had been deceived because they did not seek the counsel of God. David was a man who was guilty of both adultery and conspiracy to murder. And Apostle Paul had been named Saul of Tarsus and had been guilty of persecuting the church, throwing innocent people into prison and doing that which was necessary to compel them to blaspheme, holding the coats of them that stoned the innocent man, the servant of the Lord named Stephen. So what I'm telling you is all of these were sinners saved by grace. Had it not been for the Lord God coming down as the man, Jesus of Nazareth, and living that perfect life and coming to his hour and laying his life down and suffering on the cross and yielding up the ghost, being buried, rising from the tomb, all four of these individuals, Moses and Joshua and David and Paul, would have all had their destiny in the lake of fire because of their sins. But because their sins had all been judged on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, these were men that were dear unto God and had been given God's Spirit, and then were not disobedient to God, but had for the most of their lives followed faithfully in challenging times against many enemies. But now, as we read these words from Moses, and then later on the other three, we find that those challenging times were drawing to an end. Their sojourn upon the earth was coming to a close. And as it closed, they, in their positions of leadership and ministry, had something that they wanted to express to those that were left behind. We want to face the challenges of life. And you know, so often we face them as if we were all starting from scratch. It's a sad thing to me that this seems to be so prevalent in the human race, is that one generation is able to hand on its technical advances to another generation. You know, it's like the young folks we're blessed to have here. You won't have to invent the microwave unless civilization collapses. You won't have to invent the tablets or the laptops or the iPods or the Androids. You know, all of those have come to you. You'll take a lot of that, like I say, if civilization remains intact, you'll take a lot of those advances just like passing a baton, and you'll go right on from there. You'll have things in technology that a lot of us probably won't be able to imagine. Isn't that great? But isn't it sad that the life lessons that one generation learns, these things are wrong and foolish. These things are right and good. These things are helpful. These things I've done, and I wish I hadn't. These things I've done, and I'm glad I did. And it's like the next generation just says, oh, go on. It's like every generation starts over from square one when it comes to how to live life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could hand on life lessons the same way we handed on technology? Well, you could if the older generation were patient and honest and faithful enough to teach it, and the younger generation was patient and humble enough to listen and try it. You could. Why does it seem to fail almost every generation? Because the enemy, the prince of this world, he doesn't care if we have better iPods and better tablets. Those are just ways to, you can communicate good things faster, but you can communicate bad things faster. He doesn't care if we have advances to travel around this earth or to other bodies in space, because we take as much evil with us there as we have here. He doesn't care if we make technical advances. He does care if one generation passes on its life wisdom to another. It does, because if one generation of God's children is able to get the lessons they've learned in right and wrong passed on to another generation of God's children, then the prince of this world loses ground. He doesn't want to lose ground. Why? Because he's the prince of this world. This is his ground. For a little while. So what about this passing on wisdom? And I do want to read these. A lot of reading. But let's just look at it and see if we can get some of the main lessons here. Moses is, it says in Deuteronomy 31 verse 2, it says that he's 120 years old. He's about ready to climb up on the mountain and look over the land of Canaan, which he can't enter, and die. And so he says to the children of Israel, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Notice Moses didn't set before Israel and say, look, I've given you the choice whether to be slave or free. That is, you can spend the next three generations in slavery in Egypt if you want to, or you can choose to go free. Moses never gave Israel that choice. God never gave Moses that choice. There was no choice involved in it. God said, these are my people. It's time for them to come out. They're going to come out, and I'm not going to have one stay back. Out you come. And Passover occurred, and the Red Sea parted, and they were free. No choice involved except God's choice. Very symbolic of eternal life. But now, after wandering in the wilderness, they're about to go into Canaan's land, symbolic of discipleship, of serving God. God says, there's all kind of choices. And I'm setting them before you. Some choices are good, and they enhance life, because God is your life. And some are evil, and some lead to people dying, and the death of fellowship and usefulness. So, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. Okay, here's the first powerful life lesson that an old man passes on to a new generation. Love God. Love God. What does that mean to love God? Well, follow the thought. I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. So what it means to love God is to listen and obey God. That's how you show love to God. You know, we love him because he first loved us. No human being could love God if God didn't love that human being and put his spirit into that human being. But when he does that, the person is born again and they're able to love. Now, the commandment is, you've got that ability, love God. Well, what do I do to love God? Here's what. You keep his commandments. Walk in his ways. To walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Notice he's not talking of eternal life. He's talking about living and multiplying in the land that they have to battle for. So you love God in order to live in that manner. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day. Notice he didn't say, I denounce you. He said, I denounce unto you. That is, I'm going to tell you about, if you make that kind of a choice, I'm going to denounce that path and show you what it leads to. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Then he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. That is, I want you to know that you've heard this. You can't come back later on and say, oh, we never knew this. We never knew that was the choice before us. We never knew we were at this crossroads. Moses is saying, I'm calling heaven and earth to record against you this day. That cut off that possibility. You won't be able to say, I didn't know this. You'll have to say, I knew it, but I went the wrong way. I deliberately chose to do what was wrong. Or on the other hand, I knew it, and thank God I knew it. I was able to choose, and I chose to go the way God was pleased with, and it was a blessing. So he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. This will be a blessing for you and for your children, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. Now look at how interesting this is. In verse 2, he said, love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest live. So you love in order to live. But then, in verses 19 and 20, he says that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. You live in order to love. Now, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Do you live in order to love, or do you love in order to live? I want you to know that both the principles of life and love are embraced in the very person of God. And so these things are a spiraling ascent into the very character and attributes of God. You love in order to live. You live in order to love. Now, because man by nature is dead in trespasses and sin, it's necessary that God give the capability to start such a cycle at all. He gives life, that is the life of the Holy Spirit, into a child of God when the child of God is unable to love, unable to choose, unable to be baptized, unable to do good works, unable to fear God, unable to seek God, unable to understand God. When man is in the condition where he is dead in trespasses and sins and unable to do anything pleasing to God, God in his grace and his mercy gives life. And you know what that life is? It's the life of the Holy Spirit. And you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Read Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then goes on and tells about some other attributes. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, faith. These things are there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So God gives life in order that we may love, and then commands love in order that you may live, and choose life in order that you and your seed may live, that you may love, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according to unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Listen to these life lessons. Love God. Love him by obeying his commandments. Choose life. Don't be afraid, but be strong and of a good courage. God's with you. How do you like those life lessons? Now let's turn quickly to Joshua chapter 23. And we go through the time reading through the book of Joshua, where he's leading a lot of military operations. A life of service, a life of conflict, a life of victory. Divides the land unto the children of Israel, so it's a life of accomplishment. And we start in Joshua chapter 23 and verse 1 and read these words. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. And he said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. I go on, but I would read, I'll skip over to verse 14, and he says, And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed therefrom. So what's the message of Joshua? He's coming down and he says, I'm old and stricken in years. I'm going the way of all the earth. In verse 6, he says, Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. He says, You be of good courage, be courageous, very courageous, and you remember those commandments that God gave us through Moses. And then he says in verse 8, But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day, so you stay close to God. And verse 11, he says, Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. How similar is that to Moses' message? Love God, keep his commandments, be very courageous. Now let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 2. Verse 2, David is dying. He's old. Now, he's only 70. By the way, Moses was 120 when he died. Joshua was 110 when he died. David was 70 when he died. And he's there, and he knows he's dying. He can't get warm. Solomon has been crowned king. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 2, I'll read starting with verse 1 and read to verse 4. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their ways, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. There David's dying. He's talking to Solomon, who's come to the throne. What does he say to do? Be strong, therefore. And then he says in verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments. There's that advice again, that you live this life with courage, that you walk in God's ways and be strong in those ways. Now let's turn over to the book of Philemon for the last reading. And this is a letter that Paul wrote to a brother in the church. And this brother, Philemon, was a good brother, but he owned a slave named Onesimus. By the way, the brother that owned the slave was named Philemon. So Philemon is the slave owner. Onesimus is the slave. Onesimus has run away. And after he ran away, he encountered some Christians, and one of them was Paul. And he saw the very truth that his master Philemon had delighted in. And now Paul is saying, you need to go back to your master. And he's writing Philemon to say, when Onesimus comes back, don't be angry, don't punish him, and don't just receive him back as a servant. Receive him back as a brother. So, was the Bible for or against slavery? I believe in the whole revelation of the Scripture against slavery. Now, there are rules in the book of the law concerning the regulation of slavery, just like it concerned the regulation of divorce and the regulation of murder and the regulation of criminal assault, kidnapping, and those things. A lot of the law that we read is recognizing that man is fallen and he's hard of heart. And so in order for a nation to be conducted in peace and order, there need to be things such as divorce decrees and corporal punishment and divisions of property and the correct way to treat servants and animals, because the human race is so fallen. It's like the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Pharisees and scribes said, well, why did Moses command for us to give a writ of divorce? The Lord said, for the hardness of your heart wrote he you this precept. Okay, so a lot of that is to regulate the fallen condition of humankind so that we can live as peaceably as possible. But now we ask the question, what does God want? What is it that expresses his righteousness and his character? And I'll tell you what expresses his righteousness and his character. Whatsoever you would that men do unto you, you do unto them also. Well, would you have some man own you as a piece of property? No. Well, then don't own people. And so here's a good brother, Philemon, Christian brother. He's learning this lesson gently from an old man named Paul. Philemon, there's only one chapter. Let me begin reading here in verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind I would do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. There's Paul. Now he's grown old in the service of God. He calls himself that in verse 9. Now, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged. He's old, he's in prison, and he's come to love this slave here, Onesimus, who was once rebellious and run away, as you can understand, but now he's come to see the truth of Jesus Christ. And Paul, is he saying, wow, it's great that you made a runaway. You keep on going. No, he said, go back. Your slave owner, your owner Philemon, is a brother in Christ. You go back to him. See what he says. And then he writes to Philemon and he says, Philemon, when Onesimus comes back to you, receive him. But don't just receive him as a slave again. You receive him as a brother, a loved brother. I would have liked to kept him because he was helping me and he could have helped me in your place. But I want to send him back for you to receive him as a brother. Can you see the message of the old man Paul now? His counsel is love. His counsel is forgiveness. Is that counseling to obey the commandment of the Lord? Yes, it is. The Lord commands us to forgive, even to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and emphasizes, for if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. He's not talking about eternal destiny there. He's talking about not collecting on debts. And so, the commandment of the Lord is the counsel of Paul the aged. What do we pass on to the next generation? Well, these may seem like very general lessons, but they're important lessons. Love the Lord your God. Love him by keeping his commandments. One of his commandments is to love your neighbor and to forgive your neighbor. Be strong and be of good courage. Don't face this life with fear and trembling. And I'll tell you my experiences. A lot of my life I do spend afraid of change, afraid of conflict, afraid of my own inabilities. God says, if you come up against that, turn to me. Be strong in the Lord, therefore, and in the power of his might. Learn to live life courageously this way. When you feel that fear, you feel that trembling, you feel that inability, you go to the Lord and you ask his forgiveness. You try to forgive others. And in that way, you love God and you live life. You keep his commandments. You cling to him. You be of good courage. And you go through the years in serving him by serving his children. And you'll find that, yes, indeed, it was a good lesson. It's better than an iPod, better than an iPad, better than a spaceship. That if I choose life, it is to love God. And if I love God, I will live in the fellowship and guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May God bless you.